The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. And we're back after Sukkos. And I am once again going to try to get into a regular episode uploading routine. Hopefully it'll work, but one episode at a time. In today's episode, we're going to take up a question sent to me by a listener who's one of my students. She writes, I get very stressed out when I'm late for something, and I would like to stop getting so stressed or better at calming down. This feels like a Stoicism type of thing. Do you have any podcast episodes that talk about this? So the answer is yes, I do have episodes that talk about this, but only talk about the principles involved, not about the particular problem. And the reason why I'm highlighting this is because, as we've talked about many times in the past, the mind only needs to see an idea once for it to be affected, as my Rebbe, Rabbi Moskowitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, always used to say. But the emotions need particulars and repetition, right? So we know this from Mishlei, from King Solomon's Book of Proverbs, that you know, you can summarize the entire book by saying, who is wise? One who sees the consequences of his actions. But that's not going to affect your emotions. You need to play it out in all of its particular applications. So that's what we're going to do here. We're going to apply principles that we've talked about in the past, but we're going to apply them to this specific problem. But before we start, let me just clarify. I called this episode Stoic Strategies for Being Late, okay? Not Stoic Strategies for Not Being Late. If I called it Stoic Strategies for Not Being Late, it would imply that we're going to talk about how not to be late. Now, don't get me wrong. It is very important to not be late, okay? I myself am one of the most punctual people I know. If you talk to people who know me, they could probably vouch for that. I think it's very important to be on time. I think it is very inconsiderate and unjust to be late, okay, if other people are involved, and it creates problems for the entire system. There's a lot we could say about that, but we're not going to say that in this episode because that's not the topic, okay? Likewise, we're talking to someone who is late and gets stressed out. Okay, there are people who are late and are not bothered by it. I think that's also very problematic, and we're also not going to talk about that. We're only going to talk about people like myself and my student who, when they are late, get very stressed out. And the question is, what do you do about it? Okay, so I think I have four strategies, depending on how you divide it. The first strategy is the classic Stoic strategy of identify what is in your control and what is not in your control. Okay, and I think I'm going to quote the Epictetus excerpt from the Enchiridion chapter 1 handbook, which I think is probably the most quoted passage in all Stoic writings in all my episodes. He writes, on the one hand, there are things that are in our power, whereas other things are not in our power. In our power are opinion, impulse, desire, aversion, and in word, whatever is our own doing. Things not in our power include our body, our possessions, our reputations, our status, and in word, whatever is not our own doing. Now, things that are in our power are by nature free, unhindered, unimpeded. But things not in our power are weak, slavish, hindered, and belong to others. Remember, therefore, that whenever you suppose those things that are by nature slavish to be free, or those things that belong to others to be your own, you will be hindered, miserable, and distressed, and you will find fault with both God and men. If, however, you suppose to be yours only what is yours, and what belongs to another to belong to another, as indeed it does, no one will ever compel you, no one will hinder you, you will find fault with no one, reproach no one, nor act against your own will. You will have no enemies, and no one will harm you, for no harm can touch you. So, first step, when you find yourself being late, is to ask yourself, about the past. Was my lateness due to something that was in my control or something not in my control? If it was not in your control, then don't beat yourself up about it, okay? It is not in your control. You couldn't have done anything about it. And you're only wasting energy and creating additional bad feelings by beating yourself up about it. If it was in your control, so then take those bad feelings, those guilty feelings, and channel them going forward to do Teshuvah Gemura, to correct the mistake in a way where if you're in a similar situation in the future, then you will make the right decision. So, for example, let's say you should have left a buffer zone and you did not, right? So next time, leave a buffer zone. Or you should have checked the traffic and you did not. So check the traffic next time, right? And that's it, right? You've taken action. In other words, the feeling when you are late and you're getting stressed, it often comes from a sort of self-blame. And if that self-blame doesn't lead to anything constructive, then it's just going to fester. But if it leads to something constructive, then you are doing something, right? And if you're not to blame, then there's no place for self-blame whatsoever. Okay, now, there's another fact, though, which is that once you are late, the past is something that is no longer in your control, All right. I don't want to go into this now, but if you look into the Rishonim who deal with the question of can God do anything, right? They all list all the Rishonim I've seen who talk about this. You know, the Rambam, the Sefer HaYikarim, Sadia Gaon. I forgot who else. The Meiri. They all talk about certain things that God cannot do, and one of the things that they talk about is God cannot make something. He cannot change the past. Okay, we're not going to talk about why that is, but God cannot change the past, and this is actually a halakha. This is why you are not allowed to pray for God to change something in the past, because it's called a tefillas shav. It's an impossible prayer. All right, and so I think we've talked about that in the past also. But anyway, I got this idea from a comment, a Facebook comment, where I posted the question by someone named Sam Dulmaj. I don't know who he is, but he wrote, "If you are already late and you have missed your opportunity to be punctual, your punctuality at that point is not under your control. You cannot have a practical impulse to act if your action is impossible," right? So the fact that you're already late means that wishing that you weren't late is a waste of energy, and recognizing that hopefully can untie your emotions, can unbind your emotions from that past, and then focus on what's in front of you or what's in the future, you know? And again, even God can't change the past, okay? So certainly you can't. And I think that's important to recognize. Okay, let's move on to the second strategy. Second strategy is another one that we've talked about a lot, not be carried away by your impressions. So I'll read this from Epictetus Discourses, Book 2, Chapter 18. "In the first place, do not allow yourself to be carried away by the intensity of your impression, but say, 'Impression, wait for me a little. Let me see what you are and what you represent. Let me test you.' Then afterwards, do not allow it to draw you on by picturing what may come next, for if you do, it will lead you wherever it pleases. But rather, you should introduce some fair and noble impression to replace it and banish this base and sordid one." So the tendency when something happens to you is to catastrophize, is to say, oh, sorry, when something happens to you, but when you're late, is to catastrophize and tell yourself, oh, this is going to be horrible, bad stuff is going to happen, people are going to be so mad at me, you know. And sometimes bad stuff will happen, okay, or things will happen, let's put it that way. Let's not even use the judgment of bad, okay, we'll save that for a second. You need to be able to differentiate between the objective fact of your lateness and its objective consequences, and then the imaginary fears that you have. Now, there is a great letter from Seneca, letter number 13, on groundless fears, which I encourage you to read in its entirety. And but I'm just going to read some excerpts here, which I've excerpted at sentence by sentence. He elaborates on this idea. He says, "There are more things likely to frighten us than there are to crush us. We suffer more in imagination than in reality. Accordingly, some things torment us more than they ought, some torment us before they ought, and some torment us when they ought not torment us at all." And then he gives you some strategy for how to deal with this. He says, "Put the question voluntarily to yourself. Am I tormented without sufficient reason? Am I morose? And do I convert what is not evil into what is an evil?" And then he goes on to elaborate. He says, "We do not put to the test those things which cause our fear. We do not examine into them. We blanch and retreat just like soldiers who are forced to abandon their camp because of a dust cloud raised by a stampeding cattle, or are thrown into a panic by the spreading of some unauthenticated rumor. And somehow or other, it is the idle report that disturbs us most. For truth has its own definite boundaries, but that which arises from uncertainty is delivered over to guesswork and the irresponsible license of a frightened mind. That is why no fear is so ruinous and so uncontrollable as panic fear, for other fears are groundless, but this fear is witless. Let us then look carefully into the matter. It is likely that some troubles will befall us, but it is not a present fact. How often has the unexpected happened? How often has the expected never come to pass? And even though it is ordained to be, what does it avail to run out to meet your suffering? You will suffer soon enough when it arrives. So look forward, meanwhile, to better things. The mind at times fashions for itself false shapes of evil when there are no signs that point to any evil. It twists into the worst construction some word of doubtful meaning, or it fancies some personal grudge to be more serious than it really is, considering not how angry the enemy is, but to what lengths he may go if he is angry. But life is not worth living if there's no, and there's no limit to our sorrows if we indulge our fears to the greatest possible extent. In this matter, let prudence help you, and condemn with a resolute spirit even when it is in plain sight. If you cannot do this, counter one weakness with another and temper your fear with hope. There's nothing so certain among these objects of fear that it is not more certain still that the things we dread sink into nothing and that things we hope for mock us." Okay, he goes on. I really want to read more, but the basic message is clear, which is don't let your fears dictate what you think is going to happen. Actually assess what is going to happen and what the probability is, and recognize that things might not play out the way that you expect, right? That make sure that your impressions are as realistic as possible, and you'll find that you're oftentimes more alarmed than the situation warrants. And likewise, recognize what is the true harm and what is not the true harm. And again, I've quoted this a lot also, Marcus Aurelius Meditations, Book 4, Chapter 8. What does not make a man worse than he was, neither makes his life worse than it was, nor hurts him without or within. So ask yourself, is this really a harm to me? You know, like, let's say, for example, you miss a flight, okay, and you panic, right? Now, sometimes missing a flight can lead to complications, right? But is it a real harm? I mean, what's the worst that happens? Is that you book a flight later, maybe you pay a fee, maybe you miss something, right? But is that a real harm, you know? Or is it an inconvenience, something that you would have preferred not to have happened? And most cases when you're late are not even tremendous inconveniences, right? It's mostly just all in your head. So talking yourself through these things and asking, what actually is the harm? What are the probabilities? Is this really a harm at all? Okay, that's Stoic strategy number two. Stoic strategy number three, and the reason I'm rushing, by the way, is because I have a chavrusa who I think is going to call me in a little while. Hopefully I get to finish this. This strategy really is from really Koheles, right? Koheles says, Ki Adam ein tzadik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov v'lo yachata. There's no one who is entirely righteous on the earth who does only good and never sins. Okay, that's from Koheles Zayin Chaf, Ecclesiastes 7:20. And the point here is that, let me actually read an excerpt from Epictetus, also from the Enchiridion, the Handbook, Chapter 4. When you are about to undertake some task, remind yourself what sort of business it is. If you are going out to bathe, bring to mind what happens at the baths. There will be those who splash you, those who will jostle you. Some will be abusive to you, and others will steal from you. And thus, you will undertake the affair more securely if you say to yourself from the start, I wish to take a bath, but also to keep my moral character in accordance with nature. Do likewise with every undertaking. For thus, if anything should happen that interferes with your bathing, be ready to say, oh, well, it was not only this that I wanted, but also to keep my moral character in accordance with nature, and I cannot do that if I'm irritated by things that happen. So here, the strategy is to realize that even the most punctual people are occasionally late, and for you to wish to be a human and to not make mistakes is itself irrational, and to realize that this is going to happen. What makes you a, again, when we say tzaddik here, we don't mean someone who's righteous in the Torah sense or even in the full Mishlei sense, someone who's making good decisions, right? You can't always make good decisions. What really makes you a tzaddik also is the decisions you make, but also how you react when you do make a mistake, right? Like it says in Mishlei 24:16, Ki sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam, urushaim yikashlu bara'a. A tzaddik falls seven times and gets up, but the wicked stumble in their evil. Again, I don't think that's talking about a tzaddik necessarily, someone who's righteous, but the point is that it's not just a matter of not making the mistakes, it's a matter of what you do when you do make a mistake. So realizing another thing to not beat yourself up about is that you can make mistakes. And the real question now is, are you going to make a mistake in how you relate to that mistake, by not implementing these strategies? And the last point, hopefully I get this in before my chavrusa calls, is this was brought up by another commenter on the Facebook group, Mark Healy. He says, if you're going to be late well, not poorly. Arrive in good character, not a mess of poor energy. Take ownership of your planning and plan for better next time. And that reminded me of Epictetus' Enchiridion, Chapter 17. Remember that you are an actor in a play of such a kind as the playwright chooses. Short if he wants it short, long if he wants it long. If he wants you to play the part of a beggar, play even this part well, and so also for the parts of a disabled person, an administrator, or a private individual. For this is your business, to play well the part you were given, but choosing it belongs to another, with a capital A. So I don't know if this is a separate strategy or a strategy for implementing these other strategies, but recognize that, okay, normally you play the part of a punctual person, but here, today, in this moment, you are a late person. So you can be, but you can choose to be a good late person or a bad late person, right? Either be late and be composed and think to yourself, okay, how do I have to change how do I have to change plans to account for the consequences of the delay? You know, what people do I have to apologize to or to appease in order to get in better standing and to make sure that you don't create other burdens for them? Be a good late person. You know, how do I stay calm? How do I not catastrophize? And if you are a bad late person, if you are a late person who then, makes all these bad decisions or denies accountability, et cetera, or doesn't learn from their mistakes, then that's the real tragedy here. Okay. So to sum it up, we have assess what's in your control and not in your control and only focus on what's in your control. Number two is don't be carried away by your impressions, but rather assess what the actual facts are and what true harm is. Strategy number three is recognize that everyone makes mistakes and don't beat yourself up about it for that, even if you are punctual. And number four, or really the collect all strategy, is to be a late person well, play that role well. I'm going to skip the outro this time in case Michael Russo calls, and hopefully I will make another episode later on this week. Thank you for everything, and here's to more Stoicism and Judaism.